Kevin was just mentioning, that is, here in Arizona, this is the birthday of our statehood from back in 1912. And also today on the calendar, it's Valentine's Day, or St. Valentine's Day, as some people call it. And if you like, you can look up the history of this, both the Roman Empire history and the Roman Church history. I saw that according to the Greeting Card Association, an estimated 145 million Valentine's Day cards are sent each year, and that makes it the second largest card-sending holiday of the year. And speaking of love, this is what I know. The Bible says that God is love, and so if someone wants to know what real love is, true love, you find it in the pages of the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. And you can add to that in John 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus Christ certainly did that for us. And isn't it so humbling and encouraging that the Bible says for those who are born again, nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. Well, again, I'm blessed to be with you all. This morning, we're going to look into God's Word. And in these uncertain days that we're living in, I trust that what we will see will be very encouraging. But first, let's take some time to have some prayer and manifestations. Well, today is Sunday, February the 14th, 2021. And if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Last Monday, Walter Cummins was teaching on the topic of fellowship and how we all are part of the one body. And I wanted to look at, in Ephesians 4, he read these verses, and in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." And of course, verse 16 relates to each one of us supplying, you know, doing what we do in the body of Christ, like it talks about in Romans 12, contributing, participating, doing what we do best to serve one another. And as we know in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about every member of the body is needed and important. We do what it is we do, and we all have different functions and different abilities. But verse 15 is something we all can and should do, and that is to speak the truth in love. And when he read verse 15 last week, Walter made a really good point. Speak the truth in love. We don't always speak everything we know. And as he said, people might not be ready to hear everything you know. And so that would be love. A good example, I learned this long time ago. Many years ago, we were out just sharing the word with people, and I was talking to someone, and finally I said, "Do you know what happens to you when you die?" And he said, "No." And then I kind of got a little excited, and I said, "Well, would you like to know?" And he said, "No." Sometimes people just not ready to hear the truth. That's fine. And as we speak the truth in love, it takes wisdom, many times allowing God to work in you. We love people. We want them to have all that God has made available. It's not about how much you know, but about how much you love. And there are people who are searching. Many times they don't even know what they're searching for. They just know that they're not happy. They're not fulfilled, looking for something to fill their emptiness, looking for answers, looking for truth. And then you add to that living through a once-in-a-century pandemic, and on top of that, many are concerned about the direction that this country is headed. And so those of us who do have a little knowledge of God and His Word, with all that's going on in our world today, we need to take a stand, right? Take a stand for God. But what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, turn to Psalm 1, the very first psalm in the Bible. Psalm 1. There's a lot of psalms, aren't there? All the way to Psalm 1. The first word of the first psalm is blessed. Blessed, which also, you know, means happy. I'm happy. I'm blessed. And so here's how you can be happy and blessed. It says, blessed is the man or woman. Blessed is the one that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Three things if we want to be blessed, if we want to be happy. First, it's walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. To walk means to live your life, to move forward, to proceed. Counsel is advice. Ungodly, those are people who are wicked or sinners. Basically, God's not their standard. So if you want to be happy, if you want to be blessed, then don't live your life by the advice from ungodly people. Secondly, don't stand in the way of sinners. To stand means to take a position. Now, where do you stand on this issue? We don't stand in the way or the path, the manner, the habit, or the course of sinners, sinful people, contrary to God's word. So if you want to be happy, if you want to be blessed, then don't take a position or stand on the same path or course that sinful people take. No matter how popular it is, no matter how accepted it is, no matter where the culture goes. And then thirdly, we don't sit in the seat of the scornful. To sit means to remain or settle in or dwell. And seat is a dwelling, where you dwell or settle in. Scornful are those who mock or scorn or deride. If you want to be happy, if you want to be blessed, don't settle in, hang out with, and be where those who mock or scorn or deride. If you want to be happy, if you want to be blessed, don't live your life or proceed forward with your life by the advice from wicked people. Don't take a position or persist on a path or course that sinful people take. Don't settle in or hang out with and where those who mock or scorn or deride. And who do they mock or scorn or deride? Well, God and the things of God, things that are true according to God's word. But, verse 2, instead of doing that, his or her delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And there, law of the Lord and law, that refers to God's word. It says that his or her delight. Delight is a joy, satisfaction, pleasure, not a chore. Oh, I have to read the Bible. His delight is in the Word of God, and in His Word does he meditate day and night, all the time. Meditate means, basically, this word means to utter, mutter, groan, speak, ponder. Thinking or speaking out loud to yourself. In this case, it's about God's word. We speak to God about His words. We speak to ourselves about His words. We speak to others about God's word. And we have great delight. Remember, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Well, I'm not ashamed of what I believe. Why should we? So, in these days that we're living in, we're not ashamed of what we believe. And when we have an opportunity, we endeavor to speak the truth. And we are to speak the truth in love. Now, that's the stand we take. And when it comes to standing, we can either stand aside, which is compromise or conformity, or we can stand against people and political parties, which can be contentious, or we can stand up for God, His Word, and His people. Look at Psalm 38. You'll see some people who were standing aside. Psalm 38. David was going through a very difficult time. We'll just read verse 11. It says, my lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They were not standing with David, and David was standing for God, His Word, and His people. They were standing aside, afar off, distant. Also in Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah chapter 6. Kind of see this standing aside. Jeremiah chapter 6. Some serious reproof in the book of Jeremiah, if you've ever read it. In chapter 6 of Jeremiah, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. No, just going to compromise, just going to stand aloof, stand aside. Verse 17, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken, we're not interested. When it came to God, His Word, and His people, they stood aside. They chose to not stand for God. You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy, remember, he said, all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. They compromised on God's Word. They compromised on God, His Word, and His family. Why did they turn away from Paul? Was it religious pressure? Was it political pressure? Was it fear of the cancel culture? You know, fear of being canceled? Let's take a look at the parable of the sower, and we get a little more understanding of what it is to stand for God, His Word, and His family. Mark chapter 4. Why did all those people just turn away from Paul? Mark chapter 4. Verse 3. Hearken, listen. Behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then later, he explained it to the disciples. Go down to verse 13. And he said unto them, don't you know this parable? How then will you know all parables? The sower sows the word, the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Wow, this is really cool. I like this. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. If we don't get rooted in God's word and stay rooted by continuing to consistently feed on God's word, the afflictions or persecutions for the word's sake, or deceitfulness of riches and lust for other things, will end up standing aside, compromising, or conforming. So that's standing aside, but what about standing against? I'm going to take a stand against this stuff. Well, this is interesting to think about this because, first of all, we know from reading in the book of Acts, there were those who stood against Paul, which was, in fact, standing against God, his word, and his family. And as you know, before he got converted, Paul did exactly that, right? But after he got born again, as Paul traveled and brought the good news, both religious and political people confronted him, opposed him, and stood against him, which again is standing against God, his word, and his family. And you can clearly see they did just that to Jesus Christ as you read the Gospels. So we get that. We can understand that. But what about us taking a stand against the evils of our day? Are we to just ignore everything that's going on? Oh, there's nothing going on. Just stand aside and compromise and conform. Many Christians wonder about that in these turbulent or uncertain times that we're living in. Now, when Jesus Christ was arrested, you know, when that took place in the garden, well, there's Peter, man. He whips out a sword, whacks this guy's ear. And Jesus told him, as you know, put the sword away. And then Jesus said he could ask his heavenly Father and get 48,000 angels. And we know from God's word that at times angels definitely fought against God's enemies in the Old Testament, right? But Jesus didn't ask for those 12 legions of angels. And later, Jesus told Peter that his kingdom was not of this world, and if it was, his followers would be fighting. So in talking about taking a stand against, you know, there are different ways to consider. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 says, having your conversation, your behavior, your lifestyle, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We are, as the scriptures say, living epistles that everyone can see. We live God's word and we speak the truth in love. And doesn't that verse remind you of what Jesus Christ said? Let your light shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so we speak the truth in love. You know, 1 Corinthians, it talks about if your spouse is an unbeliever and they're happy to be with you, you don't leave them. You know, you don't leave them because they're not a believer. It says, how do you know that because of you, they might get saved? Again, we speak the truth in love. And look at 2 Timothy. Back up just a bit to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 23 says, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes, arguments. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." You know, that's speaking the truth in love. "Instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." We don't want to be those who stand aside and compromise and conform. We don't want to be those who stand against the evil people of the world by confronting everybody. Rather, we ought to stand up and speak up for our God, for his word, and for his family. And it takes wisdom what to speak, when to speak. But we know that Father said, "Be ready always to give an answer to anyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and reverence, not egotistical, not in your face." Verse 24 again, look at this. "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." Again, it's like what I said before. It's not how much you know, how many Bible verses you've memorized, how many classes you've taken, how long you've been in the Word. No, it's how big you love, how big we love. So we speak the truth in love, and, you know, the more we know and understand what the Scriptures say, the more of the truth we will have to speak to people, whether they believe it or not. And when we have the opportunity, we speak the truth in love. And again, it takes wisdom. You know, there were times when Paul did speak up concerning their illegal treatment, you know, breaking the law, you know, as a Roman citizen. You know, what are you're going to beat me uncondemned? I'm Roman? I haven't had a trial? Really? You know, exercise his rights, appealing to Caesar. But on the other hand, remember in Acts 5, the apostles were locked in prison because they were preaching about Jesus Christ. And then the angel opened the doors and told them, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people." What? "Go stand and speak how unjustly they were imprisoned." You go tell everybody that. "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people how corrupted the religious leaders are. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people how ungodly this Roman occupation is in our land." No. The angel said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life, the good news concerning Jesus Christ. Speak the truth in love." There is, and until Christ comes back, there is evil in this world. And the way to stand against the evil is very clear in Ephesians 6. And let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 6. And in Ephesians chapter 6, let's begin in verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Wiles, that's methods or strategies. And this includes religious, political, cultural. Remember, not too long ago we looked at that record in Matthew where Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of what they were teaching and what they were promoting." Well, in Mark's gospel, Jesus said, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." So that's both religious and political. This section here in Ephesians 6 tells us how to stand against the methods or strategies of our adversary. If we know what the Word of God says, we won't be ignorant of Satan's devices. And then we just stay put. So let's read this. And note, as we look at this, read through it, the references to the Word of God. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods, the strategies of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, God's word, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." And you know, the breastplate covers your heart. Righteousness. What righteousness? The righteousness that we've received as a result of being born again. And where do we find out about that? In the Word of God. The righteousness that we have. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Not the gospel of anger. Not the gospel of revenge. It's the good news concerning Jesus Christ. "Above all, take the shield of faith, believing." Believing what? God's word. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation." Salvation. In order for a person to get saved, they need to know a little something about Jesus Christ, right? I mean, at least know that he's Lord and that God raised him from the dead. That's the word of God. "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." That praying in the Spirit is part of the armor of God that we have. "The way that we stand against the wiles or strategies of the adversary is to put on the whole armor of God and stand up for our God by speaking the truth in love." We don't get intimidated. We don't get afraid. We don't stand aloof. We don't turn away. And we certainly never, ever become ashamed of the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel, the good news concerning Jesus Christ, is the power of God. I'd like to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 to close this morning. Speaking the truth in love. That's what we do. That's what we do. And you know, if God directs you to do something else, you know, whatever that might be, then, you know, God is at work within us to will and to do. But bottom line, we all are to speak the truth in love. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I'm going to read it to you from the Working Translation. "For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I am also persuaded that he is able to guard the deposit entrusted to me until that day." It takes courage and commitment to stand up for God, his word. and his family. But why not? Why not, after all he's done for us, why not stand up for him, for his word, and for his family? There are many people that believe our country may be headed down a wrong path, a dark path. But you know what? At the same time, there are many people searching for something, searching for truth, searching for answers. There are people who do not have an understanding of what Jesus Christ has accomplished and what God can do for them if they get born again. People that have no idea of the rights, privileges, and abilities that we have as God's dear children. So, in the midst of all of this, and I hope this gives you some perspective on standing, keep in mind what we saw in Psalm 1 so you can stay happy. So you can stay happy and blessed. And keep growing in God's Word. Keep putting God's Word into your heart and mind. And pray for open doors to speak the truth. And when those doors open, then let's just keep speaking the truth in love. It's like that verse in the hymn, "We've a Story to Tell to the Nations." One of those verses in that song is, "We've a message to give to the nations, that our God who reigns above hath sent us his Son to save us and show us that God is love." And show us that God is love. Shall we pray? Almighty God, our wonderful, loving Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your great grace, mercy, and love on each one of our lives because of the new birth, being born again. How grateful we are, Father, to know that when you send Jesus Christ back, we will be gathered together and meet him face to face. Father, until that time comes, may we continue to believe your word and to speak that truth in love. Father, may we continue to trust you to help us in all of our endeavors. Father, may we look to you for your help, your guidance, your wisdom. And Father, may we just continue to love one another, and as it says in your word, especially good to those that are of the household. Father, we pray you would give us open doors to speak your word. And we pray for our country. We pray, Father, for the light of your word in our country, and for hearts to change, and for those searching and seeking, that they may, as you promised in your word, those that hunger and thirst to be filled. Thanks, Father, for being so good to us, so kind to us, and for the great privilege of being your children. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, thanks for being here this morning. Feel free to share this phone number to anyone you think might be blessed to join us. And if you think this particular teaching might be helpful to someone, it's going to be posted on my blog, confidenceandjoy.com, and I'll have it posted up in just a little while. It'll be under the tab, Recent Teachings. In the meantime, keep making the time to read and study God's Word. Pray and expect God to supply all you need in your own personal life. Keep praying lots for our country, and pray for those open doors so you can speak the truth in love. We'll be back again next Sunday, unless, of course, the Lord returns. So until then, I love you, and may God bless you abundantly.